I'm moving that podium over there, and I'm going to teach from here because the person I'm going to introduce to you wants the very best all the time. So I'm going to let him have the best podium, and I'll take this. As Jeff prayed, we have been in the book of Galatians. For those of you who are visiting, or maybe you forgot, there's been a theme here. Steve's going to teach on that. Actually, the verse that we use this theme in a couple weeks, Christ alone. Well, that's a marvelous theme to have from a book that really helps us understand how to live the Christian life. Let me just give you a little background as we prepare to get into chapter 4. We've been looking at the first three chapters. Jeff taught before Father's Day on the beginning of chapter 4. The text today is Galatians 4, 12 to 20. I'm not going to read it today. I'm actually going to try to act it out as a narrative. But the book of Galatians comes out of a time where Paul is in great agony over his people in Galatia. On his first missionary trip, Paul came to the region of Galatia, kind of where Turkey is now, preached the gospel, and God did a marvelous, powerful work in the hearts of the Galatians all over that area, and many came to Christ. And Paul was excited about that. And birth took place in that region. But then Paul left, and while he was gone, these Jews came along and said, hey, it's great you believe in Jesus, but you know that you got to have more. To really be part of this, you got to almost become like a Jew again. You got to begin to keep the law again. And then they began to circumcise many. And Paul got wind of this. And the whole book is really emotional with Paul, but there's a real climax here in chapter 4. Chapter 1, his emotion is this: if I or another angel preach this, let them be cursed. That's how firm he was on this. Jeff taught a few weeks ago, who has bewitched you? That's not a nice term. Who has allowed Satan to be part of what's going on in your heart? And today, if you want to follow along, I'm not going to read it. I want to act it out because I have something I want to share with you that I believe God allowed to jump off the pages as I read it. But here's how it starts in Galatians 4, 12 to 20. I plead with you, Galatians. Oh, become like me as I became like you. Or in other words, I used to try to follow the law. I used to be zealous over keeping it. But then I came to the message of the gospel, and God changed me. So I brought that to you, and you received it. But now you're going back the way I was. Don't do that. Why? You know that I came to this area because of an illness I had. Now, I'm not going to get into it today, but I believe it's because of his eyes. And in that region where Laodicea was, they created a salve for the eyes that was a real, real powerful thing for the eyes. I don't know if that's what he came to the area for, but I kind of think it was. Because he says this, I came with an illness and you received me. And I wasn't a burden to you. It must have been so powerful in his life at that time that it took great care. And the Galatians received him like an angel, he said, or even Jesus Christ himself. And if it wasn't so, you would have tore out your eyes, he says, in this portion of Scripture, and given to me. That's how much they loved him. And he sees they're going astray. And here's a statement he makes. Have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, that jumped off the pages to me. I realize in the church today, when we live our lives based on the law, and I'm going to kind of unpack that a little bit. When we live our lives based on what I think I need to do to please Jesus, to live for him, to try to hold up to his standard, and the truth comes to me, I resist that. I defend my position. We're going to talk about that. Galatians is a book that teaches us not the law, but grace. Not the flesh, but the spirit. And I want to introduce you to somebody that lives in the flesh. Now, I have to give credit to a couple people who helped me with this little illustration. You know I like to give illustrations. I want to give my wife the credit because she helped me with this. And my friend Tom Lytle. Where is Tom? Downstairs. He's downstairs teaching. All right, well, God bless him. The artist that he is, he helped me create this. Now, before I introduce you to this guy, I want to tell you a little bit of something about him. I'm going to call him Carnal Chick. And I have some verses that kind of explain what that means. The Bible talks about when you and I who are believers don't live in the spirit, but we live in the flesh or in our carnality, we cannot accomplish what God has for us. And that's powerful. That's what the Galatian people were trying to do. Sean, if you could put up the first verse. The Bible talks about being carnal, living in the natural man or the sinful man, or living in the flesh. You could interchange it for any idea there. It's the same. Before Chick became a believer, he lived in the natural man. Here's the first verse that we have here. I'm going to turn around and read it because I can't read it from there. Too small. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Even the law was spiritual, but it couldn't accomplish what God wanted to do for my salvation. But I'm carnal. Something needs to happen to me. The next verse, Sean, that talks about our carnality. This is the natural man. From 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's a powerful verse for us to understand. The natural man cannot. And I just want to share this to try to comfort our hearts. Even this week, the Supreme Court passed something that, as an American citizen, really hurt me. I'm disappointed. But as a believer in Christ, I understand that ungodly people can't make godly decisions. And I have to understand that, and you have to understand that. As American citizens, we can do whatever we can and should do whatever we can. But as believers in Christ, the Bible tells me that ungodly people don't want to have anything to do with God. So I can take comfort in that God is still working his plan in our lives, no matter what. The world is getting worse, but I can take comfort that God wants to work on my life. I have one more verse to share with you that talks about the flesh. From Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we understand this, and this is why I went to great lengths to show you this illustration, I want to introduce this guy to you. That is Carnal Chick.
Hi, Carnal Chick.
He likes attention, Walt. I'm going to great lengths to help you understand who we are. I'm going to pick on this guy, and nobody will get hurt. But I want you to think this is you, too. Here's what the book of Galatians that Paul wants people to understand. Carnal chick, there's no way he can ever please God. Ever. Here's another point, and I can't change him. The Judaizers taught the Galatians, oh, if you just keep the law, God will be pleased with you. Never, ever. Can this guy please God? That's what I have to understand at the moment of salvation. When I understand I can't keep the law, Galatians tells me, and it says in the King James, I like it this way, Galatians says it was a school teacher. A lot of school teachers here. The law was to teach us of my sinfulness, and I can't keep it. What does the sinful heart do? The Pharisees, oh, we'll keep your law, God, and we'll make even more to show you how righteous we are. You know what God says about my righteousness? Filthy rags. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked and cannot be cured, says the scripture. This guy is in trouble. But he heard the message of Christ one day. And God spoke to his dead heart and quickened him. And he became alive. He became forgiven. He became justified. Not on his earned merit. It's not by works of righteousness that we do, but it's the work that God did in his life. And I stand here and I ask the Lord before I teach, Lord, I don't want this guy to teach. I want the Holy Spirit to teach. And I believe that by faith. But there's times he likes to raise his ugly head. He likes praise. Be careful praising him. He might come out. The Bible teaches me now in my spirit, because I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, the Bible teaches me there's no room for boasting. Why would I boast? The work of Christ on the cross is his and his alone. He's done it all. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Even the grace and faith comes from the Almighty God. This guy has no room to boast, but he does at times. He tries to lift his ugly head up. And Paul, and the guys are going to get into it more as they get into chapter 5, wants to help us to understand that the carnal man, the natural man, the sinful man, the man who lives within his flesh cannot do anything that pleases God. Do you believe that? Well, here's what I want to share with you today. I certainly want to speak to those who may have never got to the point where they've recognized that they're spiritually dead and that Jesus took on the penalty of my sin, the power of my sin, to give me a new life. Here's what the scripture says. He who has the Son has life. If you've never recognized that, confessed your sin and said, Jesus, I need you. I want you to live into my life. And I confess that you are God. Come, save me. God will do that. That's what he's done in my life. And now the Spirit dwells there. But for those of us who have received Jesus, here's what I want to talk to you about. Any given day, any given moment, this guy can take over. And I want to have time to kind of encourage us, well, what does it look like to handle this guy biblically? You know, the Bible tells us that there's three main enemies of my soul: the world, the flesh, and the devil. This guy's the flesh. The world, they're out there trying to lure me in. All kinds of commercials that lure me. Buy this, and you'll have this. Do this, and you'll be that. And it's alluring. I want some of the stuff that's out there. So how do I overcome the world? Same way I overcome the flesh. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of Christ, the Bible says. So therefore, recognize that it was Jesus who overcame the world and not me. I do it by the power of the cross, by the person of Jesus. The devil, he's out after us. We have to be on our guard. Be sober, be vigilant, because the devil, like a roaring lion, seeks to devour. Jesus overcame Satan. In the story or the narrative of the scriptures, the first Adam, I'll call him Adam the first, didn't overcome Satan. He gave in. But the second Adam, out in the wilderness, fought him tooth and nail, and our Savior conquered Satan. So we too conquer Satan the same way, by the living word. But the flesh, how do we fight the flesh? He's a devious person. He tries to deceive my spirit that's within me. And I have to be aware of that. You don't have to answer this question, but I ask it myself. Here's what the scripture says. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not gratify or fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the carnal man, he's lusting all the time. He wants. Elevate chick. Make chick look good. In my spirit, I say, God, I don't want that. That's not the way I'm to live out the Christian life. I'm to let you live in me. How do we do that? I want to say this to you. Does living in the Spirit happen automatically every day? Anybody want to give an answer? No, it doesn't. So then if it doesn't happen automatically, and yet let me say this. The Spirit of God is still working in my heart all the time because He loves me. He knows I'm sinful. So He's doing His thing, and I am so grateful for that. But I need to do something. And if I'm aware that it's not automatic, then I need to be doing something every day. Hebrews says it this way: be careful, because your heart can deceive you daily. If that is true, and here's where I'm convicted, and maybe this will convict you. If that is true, that the carnal chick wants to live and rule my heart, and the Bible says, and Christ wants to rule my heart. Chapter 5 is coming, Steve. They're fighting all the time. How do we conquer that? First way to conquer it, recognize it. Understand it's a daily battle. Paul fought it all of his life. That's why he could say in Timothy, I have fought the good fight. Overcoming the sinful nature that wants to rule my heart. I've got to recognize it, and I've got to recognize it every day. There's times I wake up and don't even give it a thought. Bad. I'm in trouble. So I need to practice spiritual discipline. I need to begin, the time I wake up and my eyes open, I need to be able to start talking with my Lord in prayer and saying, Lord, this is a new day. We have the Word of God that tells us many wonderful things. Rejoice in the Lord. He's made this day. Lord, I can rejoice. But Lord, I have no idea what's out there. I believe I need you. We need to be able to have a dialogue with God that's constant if we're going to fight this guy and win. Now, I'll say this. God's spirit is a quickening spirit, and he can overcome immensely, powerfully. But do you wake up the first thing in the morning and think about letting Christ live in you? I don't. I might be thinking about, is it pancakes or eggs today? And I've got to get in the habit of training myself. We are in a fight for righteousness. And this guy can't produce it. Only the living God who has indwelled me by faith and has sealed me can overcome and equip me to fight everything that's coming. Teenagers, and especially our graduates, and we're so proud of them and love them, but they're going off to school. And they won't have their parents who love them and pray for them and reminding them they're not doing things right. They could allow their carnal nature to control them. There's going to be a lot of temptations, a lot of lures. This guy wants to be popular. That's a big lure for our college kids. Wants to be important. I need to understand, says the Word of God, that's not important at all. And it will never, ever satisfy. This guy will never be satisfied. He's always hungry for something to elevate him. But the living God who lives in me is working in my heart to help me work through those issues, to be able to be reminded, to be aware that I need Jesus every moment, the Spirit of Christ. And Christ will never, ever refuse you when you say to him, I need you today. I want you to walk with me today, Lord. Whatever it is, at work, at school, caring for the kids. Moms, when Carnal Chick had to take care of his little ones, he could get really frustrated and angry. It's everywhere in every action that we do. And we need the Spirit of God to control us. Ephesians says it this way, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be controlled. Colossians says it this way, let the peace of Christ rule my heart, not this guy. So as I'm studying the scriptures, God's given me many, many attributes that this guy lives by. We're going to see that in Galatians 5, 2. A whole list of things that the flesh lives out. And then there's 9 attributes that the Spirit lives out. Do I look for those times in my life when I get frustrated or I get angry or short with my wife? The Spirit of God's not in control in those moments. This guy is. There's some powerful things that we need to learn about living a Spirit-filled life. I already said this guy can't be satisfied. Here's what I need to understand deeper, and I ask God to help me with that. Here's what the Bible says. Being filled and guided through the Spirit of Christ is the greatest life I could ever have. Lord, help me believe that. Because at times I don't. So I need to be a man of prayer every day, clinging to the Lord, crying out, help me, Jesus. I'm going to go work for a crabby customer. Boy, it doesn't take much for the hair of my head to raise up when I'm working for a crabby customer. And this guy wants to have control. Lord, give me the grace to love this person, especially if they're not a believer, because they have a carnal nature. They don't even have the Spirit of God in them. Why would I think that they could act in a godly way? They can't. But I can, because I have God indwelling me. Am I taking the full power of God every moment of my life? So I need to be aware of it by prayer, asking God. We have not because we ask not. And when we ask for wrong motives. Are you praying about things that you know are God's will? Now, I know it's good to pray for things that, should I buy this car? Should I go on vacation here? Even to the point, should we take this little baby who has so many medical needs? It seemed it could be right, but you want God's heart on that. And you guys spend time in prayer asking for that. That's the type of people we need to be. God, not my will, your will, show me. And I want to tell you, our Savior will show us if we are earnestly asking for it. Prayer. The Bible. Oh, how we need to know the Bible. It points out exactly all through, from Genesis to Revelation, what the carnal man, the man who operates in the flesh, or the sinful nature looks like. Genesis 6. God looked down and saw that the attention of their hearts was evil all the time. That's who this guy is. He may not always appear to be very evil, but he's got evil in him. Selfishness, greed, covetousness. He wants. We need to know that and recognize that when I see Chick operating in the flesh. We need to be aware. We need to recognize. And then God says this. He says it all over the scriptures and he puts it in different ways. I told Dom I was thinking about maybe killing this guy. Yeah. But that's what the Bible says. Die to myself. Put off this old man and put on the new. Live in the Spirit, and you will not gratify. When the Spirit of God indwells me, which he does, and then I allow him full reign. Jeff talked about it, full surrender. That's the key, every day. It's not a one-time deal. Salvation's a one-time deal. It's forever, I'm sealed. That's my justification. Sanctification, every day, day in and day out. And if I don't think about it, chances are what? I'm not practicing walking in the Spirit. So Lord, give me your thoughts every day. This is a crisis mode. I need to make sure this guy is dying every day. I'm crucified with Christ. Nail him to the cross daily. Nevertheless, it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, it can't be this guy. It has to be Christ living in me. So we have to evaluate that. We have to look at that. We have to cry out to God. God, give me that desire. Boy, I know that's a prayer he wants to hear from me. And even in my own fleshiness, I'll add to that prayer. And God, show me the deception if I'm just saying it because I know it's the right thing to say. because that's how deceitful this guy is. But I rest in the confidence that my God is stronger than that. When I ask him, Lord, help me to live for you every day, he will. He will take things away. He will add things to me. He will teach me things. And hallelujah, it will be the most tremendous life you and I can ever have. That's Paul's heart here at Galatians. Why are you living that way? You are missing all that God has for you. Let's pray. Father God, again we come to the thought and the realization that apart from you I can do nothing. But we say hallelujah, with Christ I can do all things. I can overcome temptation. I can learn to love in a powerful, God-like, merciful way. Even as we learned this week in VBS, I can learn to forgive and forgive the way you forgive. Completely, totally forgiving people and not holding it against them. Oh Lord, today and through the book of Galatians, help us to understand the message. It's so powerful. We can be free of that sinful, stinking nature of myself and let Jesus live in me. Free me from that, Lord, for your name's sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.